Revving up the lean brays. Fasten your seatbelts and hold on to your carrots, comrades. We're going to burn some high-performance health rubber. You're about to enter the Lean Brays Throwdown Zone. Accelerating for the simple solutions, we are Avengers of Health. Hide the donuts. You're listening to the Lean Brays Radio Show at theleanbrays.com. Welcome, Braves. I'm Ron Jones, and I've got Maggie Daniel, registered nurse from Michigan, on the phone with me again today, and Kevin Rail, freelance writer, well coach, special ops for Lean Beret, and affectionately known as K-Rail, the motivational engineer. And we have a great show topic today. We are talking about, yes, the F word. But fear not, ladies and gentlemen, we'll keep it clean because we're talking about fat. F-A-T, fat. And as K-Rail likes to say, it's only one letter away from fit. So welcome again, Maggie and Kevin.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Ron.
And we've got a great show today on fat, and people talk about fat all the time, but I think, like a lot of other things, they don't really understand it, and in the Lean Brace style, we're here to simplify and be part of the solution and not complicate.
To uncomplicate.
Yes.
A complicated issue.
That's right. So, we're going to talk about a lot of things today in the fat world, saturated fat, trans fat, and the omega-3s and the coconut oil, which has been in the news a little bit here lately, and I'm getting a lot of questions on that, you guys. But Maggie wanted to start the show today just talking about how much fat per day people need. And there are a lot of different diet plans out there, and I'll even go out and say there a lot of them are scams, super high fat, no fat, you know. We're trying to, you know, attract the masses here and not get too crazy, right? Keep it simple. So let me ask you, Maggie, how much fat do people need per day for health? I think a lot of people maybe don't understand that, you know, you have to have some fat or you'll die for your organs, your skin, your hair, all kinds of things like that.
Right. Normal growth and development, cushioning for the organs, maintaining cell membranes, and fat is also the vehicle for vitamins A, D, E, and K. So without fat in the system, those vitamins are inefficient. They don't do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
And the big thing about the controversy of fat starts with, for me, that fat provides taste in our food and consistency, and fat as a preservative or an additive in food is often used as a taste enhancer. So we've become accustomed to tasting food the way we have in America because it has fat added to it.
And what some people don't realize is when they take the fat out, I'll let K-Rail answer this, they put what in, Kevin?
What was that?
When they take the fat out,
what do they put in?
Yeah, they take the fat out, then what do they put in to add taste back?
God only knows.
Well, the sugar.
Flip a coin, find out.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, normally, yeah, low-fat product. I used to be hardcore when I first started getting into eating healthy and stuff years ago when I was just some cheese ball walking the streets. And I was all, like, totally into fat-free and low-fat products. My life revolved around them. I would go country line dancing and then go to Weiss's afterward with my buddy, and I would get a whole container of low-fat or fat-free Fig Newtons, and I would eat every single one of them. And I would drink an Arizona iced tea, 23 ounces on the ride home. And I had the biggest grin in the earth on my face because I was happily pleased to know that they were like, no fat. I was like, I'm getting 3 grams of fat for this whole container. So then I know I'd wake up in the morning with a massive bellyache, and I could feel my love handle just like completely exploding to my side. Doc, in my head. Because
well,
foods were super impregnated with calories and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But to me, I'm like, oh, no fat, that's fine by me. So I was completely duped by the whole low-fat, no-fat craze.
Well,
and I'm going to shift gears and give this back to Maggie because I'm sure you have something to add to this.
Well, as has been our whole nation duped into thinking that if it says no fat or low fat, it's good for us. Well, back to how much we need. We have essential fat and we have storage fat. And women need more essential fat than men do. They need about 11% of their body to be essential fat. And men only need essential fat to be 3 to 5%. And it's for our child-rearing duties that we do as females. And then the storage fat women a little bit more than 12%, and men a little bit more than 7%, and an obese person who is overfat will have more than 32% of in a female body to make the person obese, and a man would be considered obese if he has more than 25% fat.
Now here's my man in the street chiming in here. Most people are never going to know what their fat percentage is.
Most people are never going to know what their fat percentage is. You're absolutely right. I once heard somebody say that if you think that you need to lose some weight, take all your clothes off and jump up and down in front of a mirror.
I just had a conversation with somebody kind of like that yesterday.
Yeah, and if you have a lot of jiggling, you need some fat. Yes, this is true. People don't have access to these fancy scales that weigh our fat percentage and pounds and all that stuff. So I think maybe a better way to describe this to people is that adult women should have their waistlines be, if they're 35 inches or more, they're in big trouble.
Right.
When men's waistlines are 40 inches or more, they're in big trouble.
Yeah.
And all we need is a simple
tape measure.
Body tape.
Yeah, tape measure, yeah. to find that out.
And that's,
yeah,
this is a big shift. You know, we've been going by the BMI for a while, and of course,
yep,
there's some controversy about that and how it can be skewed with people that are muscular and athletic and blah, blah, blah. So now the latest thing is, hey, let's just throw a tape measure around your waist, and if you're a woman and you have a 35 plus inch waist, you got problems. If you're a
mm-hmm.
man, you have a 40 plus inch waist, you've got problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that varies, I think, a couple inches either way, depending on who you read. But
mm-hmm.
we're trying, and I think that's probably a good idea to just get it a little more simplified in that way, because that's something that everyone can understand.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone
yeah. mm-hmm.
probably has a pretty damn good idea what their waist size is.
Everyone probably does. And another interesting irony of this of our nation today is that people say you have four women who are out to lunch, and all four of these women are overweight. I mean, obviously, visibly overweight,
mm-hmm.
almost obese. Well, they all look the same,
right?
And they all like each other, so they say, "Well, it's okay because they like me, and it's okay that I look this way." And that is happening more and more and more. It's a social connection, and the fat is beautiful marketing that has been in our nation in the last 20 years. Well, you know, it doesn't really have to have anything to do with how a person is as a person. You know, the kindness, the empathy,
right,
the
right.
compassion. But we have got to stop fooling ourselves, because fat is deadly.
Yeah, and this is where I think, like a biomechanical person, I mean, it's just bad for your joints to be carrying around an extra 30, 40, 50, 100, 200 pounds of fat.
Absolutely. And while I'm on that, I'll just kind of segue into this, that now there's a new term for fat that we didn't have 25 years ago. People probably know the term subcutaneous fat, which is the fat that's right underneath the skin.
Right.
It's the pinch and inch fat.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the last 40 years, since America has been growing so much and eating so much fat, that subcutaneous fat can only hold so much underneath the skin, and then the fat has to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the subcutaneous fat, and then underneath that you have the muscle layers of the abdominal area.
Right.
And then behind that is this new fat called visceral fat.
Right.
And this fat is settles in and around all of the organs. And this is when fat is really bad, because that fat is very metabolically active, and it loves to reproduce itself. And that's all the further I'll go to that, but people have got to understand that, you know, men and women walking around with huge, you know, bowling ball bellies, you know,
yeah.
They are not healthy, and they are just around the corner is going to be something, because our organs are not designed to be able to live healthily and do what they're supposed to do when they're surrounded and pushed around by fat.
So basically the organs internally with the visceral fat are getting kind of like strangulated.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
And they're getting strangulated, and the fat is very active. and it's very easy for this fat to go into the bloodstream.
Hmm.
When something happens inside, yeah, that's exactly right.
And I know you mentioned this before, and we don't want to go into the whole thing again, but you've seen as a nurse the clinical tests coming back with the younger children, especially where you're at in Michigan, but I'm sure anywhere across the country, the fatty liver disease signs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very disturbing. I think people need to have that on their radar screen.
Yeah, it is very disturbing. This fat nation that we have right now is the results of it is going to be a lot more, even more cardiovascular disease, because that's the real problem with a fat body. It's cardiovascular disease and a lot of calories. Eating a lot too much is what's making people get diabetes type 2.
Absolutely.
And we are in epidemic proportions.
So that's
one more. And there's now a new term called globesity.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's not just in America, although we have we have our issues here in America, but it's all the westernized nations. And so this is the F word background on fat today. And the purpose of the whole show today is, we're going to lay this out, kind of get people aware if they're not, but we need to break this down and make it easier for people to engage with monitoring their fat and interpreting this. So let's get into the rest of the show. We briefly mentioned the best sources, and we'll get in details more of those in a minute. But you had some label tips, and I think Kevin might chime in on that as well. For you walk up to a container of food, and you're thinking fat, the F word, what do you do?
You want me to take the floor on this? Because I have a little bit different interpretation than Maggie.
Okay, mm-hmm. let Kevin start, and then Maggie can rip it.
Okay, I completely ignore the nutrient facts panel, first of all, when I look at a product. If it says 5 grams of fat, 6 grams of fat, 10 grams of fat, 20 grams of fat, calories, whatever, I ignore that. I go right to the ingredient label. First place I go. I look for partially hydrogenated oils, fully hydrogenated oils, or something over related to either one of those. If I see either one of those, I smash the product. With a club or a baseball bat or whatever I got in my hand.
It goes to Lean Brace firing squad.
That's right. It goes to the firing squad and it gets destroyed. I'm more concerned about where is the fat coming from. If it comes from a bunk resource like that, that's garbage. That's a chemical process. It's hydrogenation, which we're going to get into a little bit later. But that's where I go first.
So for you,
if I don't see any of that.
So for you, it's not even worth doing the math on because you already know the source is bad.
Exactly.
Okay.
I skip the step of doing math by going right to the ingredient label. If I see hydrogenated oils, partially hydrogenated oils, or the word saturated fat anywhere, it's done.
Okay.
It betrayed me, and it goes to the firing squad. If I don't see any of those, then I go back to the nutrient facts panel. Then I look at the total fat, then fat grams, fat calories, etc. And now I'm going to shift back to Maggie because I know you want to explain it a little bit better.
Well, I am in 100% agreement with you. It's the same thing that I do with labels. If it has hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oils in it, I leave it alone. It goes into the can. I don't do it. Yeah. But people aren't, you have to get down into that little teeny tiny writing that where they put the ingredients. And so there are products that don't have hydrogenated oils in them that are also very high fat. So this is where the label reading comes in, and it's very, very simple. You have to look at the serving size and how many calories there are. So let's say you're looking at macaroni and cheese, okay? And say there's 200 calories in a half a cup of macaroni cheese. Well, let's say probably 400 calories, half a cup of macaroni and cheese. Go right across the label on that same line, and it will give you how many calories of fat. So to know that if it's a product that you are reasonably safe with, it should have no more fat calories than 20% of the total calories. So 20% of 200 is 40. So you go right across the line, and it'll say calories of fat. If it has more than 40 calories of fat, it's too high fat. Find another product.
So can we need to put this into like a little like a wallet size handout? Can you help me do that after the show, you guys?
Sure.
Okay.
You betcha.
Put a little lean bray carrot on there or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we put it on the website and people can print it off and laminate it. Because you know what happens? You go to the store and you forget all this, right? So we just got to get it on a little second grade mentality, like Kevin talks about. I think that works better for even people that have advanced degrees.
You're right, and people are hard pressed in this nation to find processed products that have less than 20% of calories by fat, because fat is used, to enhance the flavor and to make sure that the product stays on the grocery shelf for 2 years. And so, I think one big thing we've got to get out is, folks, stop looking for packaged foods for your food, and if you need to get a cookbook and learn how to make food. That's really the best thing to do. It's to buy the food in its whole natural condition and eat it that way.
Yeah, we'll back away from the F word fat topic just for a second and say, you know, if you're into the conventional grocery store, it's pretty tough to, you know, find healthy food sometimes, because so much of it is processed and it's got this hydrogenated oil fat in it to preserve the shelf life.
Hydrogenated oil came about after the World War II, because America had such an excess of corn.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took corn oil and hydrogenated it, and that's what margarine is.
Okay.
So if people are still eating margarine, they need to think twice about that, because it's all it is hydrogenated oil.
So those are the Lean Braise label tips, and we're going to whip those up into a little handout, and we'll condense that for everyone very soon. But I'd like to go into our categories now that Kevin put together, and I'm going to let Kevin kind of talk about the topics, and then Maggie can add in on that. But Kevin, the way you structured the show today, basically you put these fats in one of two categories: they're bad or they're good. So it's very simple, right? And we're going to start with the first category. It's saturated, and you've got bad. So tell us why saturated fat is bad. Kevin?
Uh-oh.
All right, well, Maggie, take it away.
Well, saturated fat is not necessary at all. We have no essential need for saturated fat. And, the terms saturated and polyunsaturated, monounsaturated, those are all chemical terms. And we don't want to go into the chemical process of it, because it's way too confusing.
Right.
But it's just saturated fat is just not good for our system. It clogs. It gets into our arteries, and it causes a lot of destruction. So deep-fried foods, processed meats, red meat, whole-fat dairy products, poultry with skin, palm oil and palm kernel oil. The one thing about saturated fat is that it raises cholesterol levels, and so we don't need it. And just arbitrarily here, if you look on a package and it has saturated fat, here's another little thing that we can put on that. If it has 2 grams or less of saturated fat, it's better. It's a better product. Anything with more than 2 grams of saturated fat, put it back on the shelf.
So we can have some saturated fat in a moderation way, but definitely less than 2 grams per serving is best?
Right. Less than 2 grams per serving. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Dr. Dean Ornish, who is a heart physician, says he thinks that that our saturated fat should be 10% of the fat that we eat per day, which is more confusing.
Hmm.
So just leave it at this. Mm-hmm. Saturated fat is, the body has no need for it, and what it does is it raises the bad cholesterol, the LDL, and it lowers the HDL, and it's just what goes into our systems and causes heart attacks.
So basically the bottom line is we've got to be really careful with the saturated fat. And one thing I got from Kevin is that, you know, fat has a higher percentage of these toxins from, how it's produced and processed. So it's not just the fat, it's what's in the fat in terms of chemical contamination as well.
Absolutely, and we have especially to be concerned about this with our seafood, with our fish friends, because fish hold all the toxins that come in from the water.
Right.
They hold it in their fat cells. So really fatty fish are not a good thing to eat. And but that's just something people need to know. And also with cows and chickens, they hold the toxins in their fat as well. It has to go somewhere in their system.
Right.
So it's what else is in the fat that we need to be concerned about.
I think the bottom line for the F word at meaning fat for us today is the toxins that are retained in fat cells. That's what keeps coming to the surface with me when I think of eating fat. It's
mm-hmm.
what's in that fat in terms of contamination. So
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
our first category of mm-hmm. of saturated fat. So our next category is trans fat, and Kevin, you've got that labeled as bad as well. So, you know, our summary of saturated fat is, hey, it's not just the fat, but it's the toxins that are contained in the fat. We've kind of explained that pretty well. So now we're on the trans fat. What do you think, Kevin?
Trans fat is absolute garbage. Now, when I mentioned hydrogenated oils earlier, it's basically trans fat that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Trans fat is created through a process called hydrogenation. This is when hydrogen is added to vegetable oils and then heated to a high temperature. And the main purpose of this is to make fat solid at room temperature and give them a longer shelf life. So basically, it's all about greed in the end, if you think about it, and money.
And we're getting further and further and further and further away from fresh foods,
mm-hmm.
right? Because now we can go to McDonald's and get a thing of French fries, and 6 months later, it still looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned McDonald's, because fast food chains are notorious for using trans fats in their fryers because it can be used multiple times. And believe you me, I know a couple of people, close friends of mine, who used to work in the old food chain there
mm-hmm.
at McDonald's.
Yeah.
And they did not clean those fryers often. And there was gunk in them, and there was funk, and there was nasty stuff that I don't even want to recite out loud in public.
Right.
In those fryers.
Right.
And they just kept pumping food out, pounds of it, day after day after day.
So
and people go in there blindly eating and shoveling this stuff down their mouth. So they're not only making themselves fat, but they're also altering the cholesterol levels. More in particular, trans fats increase LDL, which is low-density lipoprotein. That's your bad cholesterol. And they drop your high-density lipoprotein, which is HDL. That's your good cholesterol.
And
so
for
you get a double whammy from trans fats and saturated fats both.
And for those of you that get confused with LDL, HDL, I remember LDL as the bad cholesterol because they're low-lifes.
Yep. Or lethal. Yep. Or lethal.
Or lethal. They're lethal low-lifes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
and HDL is always called the happy cholesterol. HDL, H, happy. So you can think
nice.
Of it that way. HDL is good. LDL is bad.
Nice. I
so
like that.
Remember.
So, mm-hmm. but basically, the bottom line with trans fats, other than that they're bad and unhealthy, is they were created to extend the shelf life of foods for the food manufacturers.
So and it's they're cheap.
Yeah, and it's not a natural process, right? It's not a natural thing to be.
No.
You can go, harvest some kind of real food, and it's not going to have trans fat in there. You know, this is a chemical
right.
laboratory type process.
Yeah, it's about as far from natural as you can possibly get. I can't mm-hmm. think of anything less, worse than that.
All right, and the next point you had, Kevin, is the use in food, and you talked about it being used in fryers, and the trans fats are quite prevalent in the baked goods as well.
Absolutely, anything that's packaged, like cookies, packaged donuts, cupcakes, even like crackers and any kind of baked goods you can think of can have trans fats in it. And you have
and
to look, it's not definite, but you have to look in the ingredient label again, like I said, for
right.
partially hydrogenated oils. And that's where your key thing comes in.
Which
and that leads me into the next thing I want to say. It's okay.
Right. You had the specifics, and you said there's some duping here on this whole food
yeah.
has less than 5 grams of trans fat. It does not have to be labeled as such.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So if a food has, let's take a package of chocolate cream cupcakes, for example, from Tasty Cake.
Yeah.
If it's got 0.4 grams of trans fat, per serving, and there's 2 servings in there, it does not have to be labeled on the nutrient facts panel, like I was saying earlier, which Maggie was talking about. That's why I skip right over that. If it says 0 grams of trans fat in that nutrient panel,
mm-hmm.
I go right to the ingredient label. And if I see partially hydrogenated oils, then I know I'm being bullshitted,
mm-hmm.
and then the product goes to the firing squad and gets dealt with accordingly.
So it has to be listed under the ingredients, but if it's under a certain gram per serving, it doesn't have to be listed as a percentage.
Correct.
That's
it's 0.5
grams. So this is a loophole.
So
this is a loophole for the food manufacturers to dupe people.
Exactly.
It is.
Now, think about this. Think about an average person gets up in the morning, has a package of cupcakes. So they get 0.8 grams of trans fat. And then for lunch, they have another pack. And then for dinner, they have another pack. So by the end of the day, they're getting 2.5 grams of trans fat, which is a lot of grams.
Especially
it may not sound
if you're
like a lot, but it is.
Well, especially if you're
a
child.
Legal, that's a lot of,
yeah, if you're a child. If you're a child, especially, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so if you can't hide from Lean Berets. We're going to seek those forces out. We're sending them to the firing squad, man.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be We're going to be smashing a lot of cupcakes with a kettlebell.
Yeah. These creamers, artificial creamers that are so popular.
Oh, those are bonk, man.
They're horrible. They have, you know, the serving size is one tablespoon. Well, I don't know of anybody who puts only one tablespoon of cream in a cup of coffee, and if it has less than 0.5 gram of trans fat in a tablespoon, they don't have to list it. But if you have 5 or 6 cups of coffee a day, it's the same thing. The
right.
trans fat gets piled up. And trans fat, the cellular makeup, the matrix of the trans fat is very, very close to plastic.
Really?
Yeah.
No, staggering, isn't it? Yeah, you could use plastic all the time.
Wow.
That sounds yummy.
That's why why the embalming fluid use has gone down, right? Because we're so preserved.
True. And it doesn't really do well leaving, but the body doesn't really know how to get rid of it, how to use it.
Hmm.
So it's just hanging around, creating trouble.
Well, we've talked about a lot of bad stuff on the F word and things that need to go to the Lean Braised Firing Squad. But now we're getting into the good fat, because fat has a lot of good qualities too, Kevin and Maggie, as we all have talked about before. And we're going to start the good fat section by talking about polyunsaturated and monounsaturated. And Kevin, you have that listed as good. So you want to start that round?
Yeah. Unsaturated fat is completely opposite of saturated fat, as you can see there. These types of fats actually help lower your cholesterol, and they can help prevent your cholesterol from becoming high in the first place. I have a good friend who's an alternative practitioner, and she says that she claims unsaturated fats are basically like liquid plumber for your arteries.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a very good analogy to think to yourself, oh boy, I want to get some of these in my system.
I love that.
They're predominantly found in nuts, seeds, cold water fish, avocados, olives, olive oil, sunflower oil, things that can't be solid at room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
That's where your best sources come from polyunsaturated and monounsaturated.
Now
I'm not going to sit here and go into the science behind them.
Yeah.
Poly means more than one molecule, mono means one. But for Lean Braised, we don't talk in scientific jargon. If you want to read that and go to the American Journal of Medicine or something, I'll tell you all about it.
Now, we need to talk about calories, though, right? Because they are high in calories. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're still looking at calories. Any way you look at it, there are no two ways around it. If you're trying to lose weight, you got to watch your overall calorie intake for the day. Okay? It's that simple. Now, fat has 9 calories per gram. So if you take a tablespoon of olive oil, extra virgin organic olive oil, and you put it on your salad, it's not invisible. Those calories are still there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting probably 13 grams of fat. You're probably getting 100 and some calories from that. So you have to take it into consideration when you're doing your whole caloric intake for the day. But if you factor in your fat calories, it's not out of the question to have 2 tablespoonfuls of olive oil a day easily into a weight loss plan, or adding seeds and nuts to your salads, or just eating them as snacks and so on and so forth. But just be aware of how many you're eating. That's the key thing.
Yeah.
And the best approach to take is to supplement through the day with them. You know, put a tablespoon of sunflower seeds in your oatmeal in the morning, have a tablespoon of olive oil on your salad, that kind of thing. But make sure to take them all into consideration.
And I eat some seeds and nuts every day. And one of my good friends out here in California, she's a very high-level fitness trainer, but she's also a registered dietitian, and she said that an avocado, like half an avocado, is something almost like a daily thing that people should eat. It's so healthy for you in terms of all the properties in an avocado.
Yeah, it's very high in monounsaturated fat. It's high in fiber. It's high in protein. And it trumps bananas as far as potassium content is concerned as well.
Really?
Avocado.
Hmm.
A whole avocado is about 360 calories. I would sometimes take one, I cut it down the middle,
mm-hmm.
I pop the seed out, and I sprinkle sea salt on both sides.
Yeah.
And I just eat the damn thing with a spoon, and then I'm done. My meal.
Nice.
Down the road I go.
Nice.
Mm. I've got my handy-dandy list here. All of you who are listening, if you want to go to a great website, go to www.veganhealth.org, and it will tell you. I've got the table of, and it says here, avocado, 1 cup of cubed avocado has 69% of mono unsaturated fatty acids. So it's a great source. It's a wonderful source.
All right.
So.
And that ties us into the next category of good fat you have on the pre-handout I'm looking at, Kevin, the omega-3s, and you list those as good as well.
Yeah, well, omega-3s are known as essential fatty acids, and they are poly or monounsaturated, either or. Essential means the body needs them, but the body cannot produce them naturally. They are essential for life. They are specifically found in mackerel, halibut, salmon, sardines, and albacore tuna, which are all cold water fish. They not only help reduce cholesterol, but they also have an anti-inflammatory effect on the body, and they also help with brain function, diabetes, and high blood pressure. And as Maggie said earlier in the show, they help with absorption of shock absorption for joints, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Now, right,
that kind of ties into the anti-inflammatory aspect of them too. So
there's
many benefits to be found in omega-3s.
There's some concern, as we mentioned in the saturated fat section a few minutes ago, that I think one thing I got from working with you, Kevin, is not just thinking of fat in terms of, okay, it's unhealthy and cholesterol. It's the chemicals that are retained in fat as contaminants. And now we have some concerns about the fatty fish, which people in general think are healthy, but the fat on the fatty fish is retaining more of the toxins that are contaminating the ocean. So this is what's really confusing the people, and they get frustrated and they say, the hell with it. And mm-hmm. So we've got to somehow give them some hope in the show today and decipher that. So what's your spin on that part of the fish and the fat?
Well, I'm going to give you people hope right now. I'm going to bottom line and I'm going to make it real simple. You want to go cold water, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Alaska, Norwegian. Those are your two things.
Mm-hmm.
When you're buying canned tuna fish, canned salmon, any kind of canned fish, always look for anything that comes from Canada or Alaska. I mean, not Canada. I mean, Alaska or Norwegian. Those are cold water fish, which has the least amount of heavy metals in them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to buy fresh fish at some kind of market or something like that, find out where it comes from. If it's Atlantic fish, chances are it's gunk. If it's farm-raised, it's probably bad as well. You basically have to look for the main thing is the cold water thing.
Okay, that's
Arctic Ocean, Indian Ocean, those kind of things. That's your safest bet with fish.
Well, that's a good tip, and that's a second-grade mentality we got to get to with deciphering this and keeping it simple. So, even I can remember that. I look,
yeah.
Alaskan or Norwegian, cold water. Okay, that's
yeah.
a better choice, right?
Yeah, and never be afraid to ask questions either when you're shopping around for your stuff. Most places are very compliant, giving you the whole background of the fish.
So while we're talking about fish, I mean, because it is related to fat here in the F word. When I first got into fish facts years ago, the farm-raised fish looked like a good way to go. And then there was some mm-hmm. stuff about them being contaminated because they're in, a close area, and so they're dumping antibiotics in the water. And then I thought that there was no way you could get a farm-raised fish that was healthy. But, Kevin, you told me last year that wasn't true. There are some farm-raised fish that are organic and healthy. Can you just quickly kind of brief us on that?
Yes, absolutely. Farm-raised fish that are clean will specifically state on, there'll be a some kind of indication of advertisement near them. Like if you go to the glass case in a grocery store, it'll be clearly indicated that it'll say farm-raised fish, and it'll say from Pure Waters or something like that. And then you can just ask them behind the counter, where does the fish come from? And they'll tell you it's been raised out of the way of fertilizers, out of the way of any kind of contaminants, et cetera, and then it was harvested. So that's the way you can find out about that.
So it needs to say from Pure Waters.
Exactly.
And that is the actual label that will be on the package. That's the term they have to use.
I'm not sure if it's gonna. It's not gonna say clean waters. That's our way of putting it. But
okay.
It's gonna say no heavy metals. Look for the words heavy metals. That's basically the thing you want to look for.
Okay.
Right.
But lack of heavy metals. Raised in waters without contaminants. Something along those lines.
Okay. Nothing against Metallica because we like heavy metal music, but. But,
that's true.
But not in the fish.
And by far, if it says farm-raised in China, go far, 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 far away.
Oh,
yes,
gosh.
Don't even touch it.
Yeah, I think
your skin burn.
Anything from China is subject to question at this point,
Anything. Yeah.
Especially when it comes to toxic contamination. So, okay, well, so that's good on the polyunsaturated, monounsaturated, tied that into omega-3s. And now we have our next category of good fat, coconut oil. And, a lot of people are talking about coconut oil, and they're talking about coconut water, which is kind of off the topic, but I want to have Kevin touch on that just real briefly. So what's the bottom line with the coconut oil? I thought coconut oil was a palm oil, and that was bad.
Well, palm oil and coconut oil are two different things.
That's good
coconut
to know.
Coconut oil in its virgin. What's that?
That's good to know, because I don't think mm-hmm. people understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's two different things. There's palm oil and palm kernel oil, which are both bad news. Coconut oil, on the other hand, is in its extra virgin form, especially organic, is very medicinal for the body.
Mm-hmm.
It is the only exception of saturated fats that is actually healthy. It has a form of fat called lauric acid in it,
mm-hmm.
which is actually a medium-chain triglyceride. You might see the word MCT in capital letters somewhere
right.
when you're researching coconut oil.
Right.
Just to let you people know. Medium-chain triglycerides help boost immunity, they help boost your metabolism, they increase your energy levels, and they also reduce stress. And that's only scratching the surface. There's like a bajillion other things it does.
Hmm. So the key then the key with coconut oil is extra virgin coconut oil. That's what we
yes.
want. Okay.
Yes. And also, Maggie, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it not that coconut oil does not break down the same way as a normal oil when you cook with it, so it stays more stable? It does
yep,
not become hydrogenated?
Yep, that's exactly true. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
And it's also,
so it's, also
it's a wonderful skin softener, too. Just take it out of the
yes.
container and rub it on the skin, and it smells good.
Wow. Okay, I'm sold. I'm going to
okay.
I'm going to Whole Foods today. Now, don't send me the firing squad for going to Whole Foods. But
I won't.
Because we went down that road last week. But I'm gonna get some of that and check it out.
Good. Yeah. And like she said, it's good as a sun. Like if you have sunburn, it's really good to slather on your skin too.
Cool.
And it helps. Like she said, it just turns your skin like to butter. Once you start using it for a while.
So before
it's all around a good product.
Before we wrap up the whole fat show, because we're kind of coming to the end of our list here of the F word and facts, coconut water is kind of in the news. I just got a question about that the other day, and I really didn't know much about coconut water. And Kevin and I got the chance to work with a surfing team racing their bikes across the country, and Laird Hamilton, the world-famous pro surfer, was on the team. And it was quite an interesting experience, Kevin. He showed up with case after case after case of coconut water and was just raving about coconut water and how he could surf all day, 10 hours on these big, huge waves and do nothing but drink coconut water. And I thought it was pretty cool until about 2 days into the race, and then I was so sick of coconut water that I couldn't even look at it, you know.
Well, it's funny, but coconut, people often confuse coconut water, coconut milk, and coconut oil all kind of in the same thing, but coconut water is completely different. It's more, it basically has the viscosity of plain water,
mm-hmm.
but it has a coconut overtone to it.
Okay.
See, I've known about coconut water for over 5 years. I've been drinking it for over five years. I love the stuff.
So
they make coconut water with different flavor, different fruit juices in them now as well to boost the ascorbic acid, which is vitamin C content in them. So people that don't like, if you want to try coconut water, I highly recommend it ice cold. If you don't like the taste of it, then try one that has like a berry flavor. They have raspberry, they have orange infused, they have all these different ones, fruit flavors.
Okay.
Some of the companies are One, Vita Coco, there's a couple good ones. But coconut water has the best electrolyte formula on the planet, far superior to that Gatorade crap that's full of high fructose corn syrup. And I find the stuff very refreshing and delicious. And Laird Hamilton did too. And when I saw it, it was like another day at the office for me. I was like, great, because I'll be sucking that stuff down. I loved it. I love coconut water.
So, but does it have some coconut oil in it, though?
No.
No,
it
doesn't.
It's fat-free, basically. No.
Oh, okay, because I didn't know that. Well, that's good to know. Okay, so.
Yeah, basically, coconut water is like, it's a coconut that's hacked in half, and then they take the water out of it. It's that simple.
Okay.
Oh.
And the oil is made.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
And I have experimented since we did the race with Laird Hamilton. I've experimented with some of the flavored coconut waters, and I'm a little bit better with that. But a couple of years ago when we did the race, it was like the straight up coconut water, and that I just thought that stuff was nasty, man. I don't care how good it was. It was nasty. All right. So in closing, we just want to mention that, you know, calories are calories. And even if you're eating some good fat, like from an avocado or seeds and nuts, things like that, they're still calories. And you can gain a lot of weight if you eat too many of the seeds and nuts and things like that. So be careful the calorie count. And like Maggie mentioned earlier, you know, a good way to check is, you know, you take your clothes off, jump up and down the mirror. And if you see too much stuff jiggling around, you might want to, you know, recheck your calorie content. You know, keep it simple, right?
Right, and I have to add one thing here because concerning prostate cancer and breast cancer.
Okay.
So many world studies and meta-analysis studies, groups of studies from all over, are finding that the high animal fat diets are equating to high percentages of breast and prostate cancer. That's all that needs to be said. Diets that are high in fat, in animal fat, lead to a much higher risk of getting prostate and breast cancer. But diets that are high in plant fat seem to have the opposite effect, that they seem to even, if the cancer has gotten into the system and it's already crossed the DNA, high doses of plant fat will actually prevent a tumor from growing. Fabulous stuff to listen to.
That's great. So, and remember that the animal fat is more contaminated. I go back to what I said earlier about what Kevin's talking about. The animal fat has more toxins in it.
Right. Plus, the protein, the amino acids in the animal fat are something that the human body was not designed to need a lot of. And on another thing, people really have to listen to me, people. You really have to do this. 20 years ago, the big thing was the Mediterranean diet: mm-hmm. olive oil, olive oil, olive oil. So Americans started putting olive oil in everything. If you go on those food channels on TV, mm-hmm. these chefs are pouring olive oil all the time. Everything they make is olive oil. Remember that a tablespoon of olive oil is 100% fat, and it has 220 calories. There's no protein, there's no carb, there's no fiber.
Mm-hmm.
There's a trace of vitamin. No minerals, and it adds up. And actually, when they first started studying the Mediterranean diet, they documented that the Mediterranean diet included about 40 grams of olive oil a day, which is 3 tablespoons.
Mm.
So, you know, you saute your stuff in olive oil, you bake with olive oil, you put olive oil on your salad, and as Kevin said, it adds up. We don't need a whole lot of it, although it's really good.
Right.
We don't need very much.
Okay, well, that's good. That's a good tip, Maggie. And Kevin, I'm going to let you close it. You got some closing comments there at the end of our outline. You want to rattle those off for us?
Okay, to recap, basically, always choose healthy foods, healthy fats, Cook with coconut or olive oil, although Maggie just bashed olive oil. I still say that if you cook with it, it's okay, but again, take your total calories into consideration.
Right.
Oh, it's fine. I'm not bashing it. It's just that we eat too much of it.
Right, exactly.
Remember
that it's always your total calories that count in the end. That's the key thing. And be sure to scan your ingredient labels for hydrogenated oils. And if I happen to be in a grocery store and I see you buying products without doing that, I'm going to find you. I'm going to make you 50 push-ups in the store. Look at your serving sizes when you do this as well. And if a product, like I said before, about don't be fooled by the zero grams of trans fat. Don't be fooled by that duping. Always go to your green label first, because if something has 23 grams of trans fat in it, it doesn't need to be labeled, and then you're fooled. And if you eat a container of cookies that has the trans fat in it, you're getting way more than 0.3 grams, I guarantee you that. So be on guard. And another thing I like to mention is nut butters are good as well.
Mm.
We didn't mention them earlier. Peanut butter, almond butter, cashew butter, they're all delicious, but like 1 tablespoon is the equivalent of basically a tablespoon of olive oil. Again, we go back to calories, but they're very good to put on, if you want to make a sandwich or something like that. Raw organic almond butter is fantastic, and that's a good source of omega-3s.
We can get organic versions of that so we don't have all that extra sugar, because regular peanut butter has a ton of sugar in it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Regular peanut butter has about 5% peanuts, 95% bullshit.
Yeah.
The ingredient label is about 3 inches long. They can barely fit it on the container. It's ridiculous. It makes me laugh.
And I think some peanut butters contain partially hydrogenated oils, too.
Oh, they all do. Fully hydrogenated oil.
Yeah.
That'd be a
trans fat.
That'd be a messy firing squad video.
Yeah.
So this has been our show today on the F word, fat. Remember, fat is only one letter away from fit, and we definitely want you to get more fit and less fat if you're overweight. So we hope this has broken down some of the confusion on fat and the categories of fat, and we are going to crunch this into a very simple little handout, and we're working on that label reading guide, too, with our Lean Braise logo on it, of course. So thanks, Kevin, freelance writer, well coach, and thank you, Maggie, registered nurse from Michigan. Kevin's in Pennsylvania. I'm out here in California. And until next time, keep it up, and don't let Kevin Rail find you buying hydrogenated fats in the supermarket. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
You've been listening to Lean Braise Radio Show at leanbraise.com. Supercharged rockabilly today provided by Hot Rod Walt and the Psycho DeVilles from Atlanta. Until next time, keep your foot in the accelerator for health and rock on.
I'm Roots Rock. Ready, I'm Roots Rock. Ready, I'm Roots Rock. Ready, I'm Roots Rock. Ready, I'm a Roots Rock. Ready, I'm a Roots Rock.